coming back into the story, we fade into, you guys have been on the road for about 3 days now. It has stopped raining long enough for you to dry out, but it does not look like it will be staying dry for long. I believe chose to travel the road and not cut straight through, correct? Or am I mistaken? We can change now.
Udu would look to you guys and go, with the other necromancer near, we might be able to, gather some information, on what might lie around us. Yeah, what's in the vicinity?
You do not know this area? This is everything. You know everywhere, yes? You follow the path, we get to the place.
Real quick, I would like Pierre to make me, let's see, probably like a survival check. It's just going to be an average survival check.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready. All right, 3 success, threat, and a triumph.
Woo.
Pierre, where you are now is past the junction in which you traveled from the... to get to the ruins you guys just left. So, you know, at this point, somewhere along this road, there's a cask in a tree where you've hidden a bunch of wine and dried meats and cheeses. And with your triumph, is there anything else you'd like to have inside this hollowed out tree?
Not particularly.
With some dried tobacco?
You know what? He's got his tobacco. He's got his tobacco and some
probably not very dry.
His tobacco and some papers so he could roll up little cigarettes for himself.
And, you know, because it's a triumph, right? I'll give you guys a boost on physical stuff for this, the rest of this encounter. Or at least until a day has passed.
Good provisions. Yeah, really nice provisions.
That's if Pierre shares, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
Yes, my friends, of course, we share. We drink the good wine, we eat the good meats and cheeses, we celebrate, we do well, we do good work.
Does Spinel participate? Do they just watch?
He's silently watching as he's adjusting the chest on his shoulder.
I like to imagine you just like staring directly at them as they eat, just like...
Yeah, completely emotionless, and that's...
Almost like you're taking notes mentally. I love it.
No, he is. He's archiving this.
Right, you guys are probably a day or less from Eridu. If there's anything, probably time to make camp. You guys have the provisions you found. It is dry currently, so you have enough time to set up a dry camp. Is there anything anybody would like to do before we like do the river stuff?
This is, am I right? This is close to the Hell Freaks area that we camped at?
This is, or we be, are, we, beyond we are, yes. Okay. We have, in the story, jumped
perfect.
Probably two days ahead, a day or two ahead, so.
Cool.
I think the walk was, let's see, 4 to 6 days. So we're right now, we're on like day 5, 4.5-ish, so.
Okay.
And if you want to bring up this ritual to them, and so they can... They have an idea, if you want them to protect you or just to be aware of what's going on. I wasn't sure if you wanted that to be a secret or not to their characters.
Well, we are necromancers working for the necromancer upsert of the
and
area.
I believe at the end of the last episode or the last recording, you said I have an idea who this necromancer is. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get any further than that. There were no specifics.
Who the Grinker was?
About your relationship to how you knew.
Oh.
Who the
yeah, the, who the Jaw Harp playing Grinker was.
Yeah.
I'll ask you, do you have a specific way you want us to be related or know each other? What our relations are?
All that we've established is that you were both initiates under Aratum at Aratum at the same time. So, like, you don't have to necessarily have been kept around each other long. Probably just came in, were inducted at the same time, and maybe went your separate ways.
I like Ooh, I got an idea. How about this? How about when we were being gathered by Aratum, we got to meet the other ones, and so we each came in with our own specific instrument that we use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe she's the one who instituted using the bell, and that's why so many necromancers have a bell as their prime, as their like
something simple that everyone can have.
And then we have our main, yeah. That way, maybe the bell is the. This is showing our allegiance to her, that we're united underneath this tone, right?
We can do something along those lines. I have a special implement that she uses.
Oh, cool.
Personally.
Yeah.
But maybe this is something that, under her tutelage, all of the necromancers that come through this service, they're given a bell, because it's like, yeah, that totally fits. That works for sure.
And then we can identify each other by our personal musical instruments.
Like a graduation type thing where
you graduate under her, you get her your bell. But you have what you came in with.
I got you. Okay. Yes. Cool.
So I would recognize Aiton Marrow because of the specific tone of the jaw harp.
Right. And we established that you didn't know anyone else who necromanced with a jaw harp.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so unique.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, and okay. And it would make sense that we would be trained on how to get to death and traverse
the same way.
And we would have our tutelage spot where we could go to.
Okay. Yeah.
Would that make sense? Do you want me to flip on that?
No. We're good with that. We're good with that. The history is there. It works. Okay. So before night falls and all that, anything social you guys want to do?
Not necessarily. Spinel is on the outskirts of camp. He is punching the ground. I am specifically looking for a rock or a geode to eat. Can I roll survival for that?
Yeah, I'll give you an average survival for sure. See what you get.
I like that.
Is that an advantage?
Dang.
You find mixed gravel. Not more of a snack, not necessarily a meal, but
dejected and not finding nourishment.
It's a salad.
I take a handful of pebbles. You can almost see sadness in his eyes, but you can't quite tell as I shovel it down my gullet.
Yes. What's Pierre doing? Just enjoying the wine and tobacco?
Yeah, he's just drinking some wine and having some tobacco, watching the two people he's traveling with.
All right, now, when we do this, AJ, is there a role for this? Is it like your spellcasting thing?
I can roll for it. So we'll go one to cast a spell. You want to set a difficulty of like one to cast, one for the location that I want, and one because of distance.
You want to make it hard to do the check then?
Yeah.
Okay, sure, we can do that. A success and a threat? Yes, success and a threat. All right, what instrument are Udu Udu playing?
He will use his twin pipe Alus instrument. I think that fits well. I think that's how he met, and so he'll use his personal instrument. What is it like
when Udu Udu crosses into the rivers?
Before he goes, he will say, I'm going to search for that other necromancer and see if we can get our bearings on what might be around. I'm going to go over into death. I know it sounds odd. It does sound odd to most people, but, you know, it's fine. They're used to it by now, I'm sure. Well, whether you're not are or not, it's going to get a bit frosty. Yeah, it's going to get nippy out here. You don't have to worry too much, but my body would be... I'll be in a meditative state. So, should you need me, holler. I should be available. Should be. If there's any blackness that boils up around me, you might want to kill that. Or trap it. Whatever your abilities are.
AJ, are you laying down when you do this? Or
I think he's going to be cross-legged and playing his flute. So he will continue to play his flute, and I think the ice crystals will form up around him, and he'll be kind of in a like a meditative state.
Okay. Large ice crystals?
Like hoar frost, yeah.
Okay.
Like a frosty morning.
Theater of mind, so we're setting up camp. Is the camp near Pierre's cache right now?
Pierre? How close to your cache? Do you want them to know where your cache is?
No.
Or did you... No.
No, all you right. would not. That there's my triumph. They don't know where my cache is.
That's fair.
All right. So as Udo is saying that, Spinel is going to cautiously put the chest down next to Pierre. And then he's going to get relatively close to Udo, not realizing that the frost is going to like spike out. Mm-hmm. But he's going to stand there in a defensive stance, just watching, like directly looking at Udo.
I love it. Okay. Around the campfire, Udo, they start playing their alos in a dull tone, spiking every once in a while with a high pitch cawing from Udo, the Therestrike, to initiate the call over to and into the rivers of death. Hoarfrost starts licking up around where Udo is sitting, starts reaching out towards the fire and around on the logs and on the blanket that he's sitting on.
It actually extends everywhere except around the chest. Ooh. There's an area about a foot around the chest. Now, Udo wouldn't know this. Uh-huh. If we want to do like a perception check for the other two.
I am not moving. Does the frost attach to my feet? And then is it keeping me stuck to the ground is my question.
I don't think it would stick you to the ground.
No. Okay.
But you're a crystal folk. It might like spread over like the top of your foot just because you're like a rock or a mineral against the ground. Like.
So as I'm like half crouched, the frost reaches out, hits my foot, and then like starts to crawl up my heel, and like blue frost spikes are like growing from my ruby red crystals.
Yeah, and those little like veins that you have running through kind of flash a little bit, just a little glimmer, a little sparkle.
Nice.
I like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your river. No, I just want to make sure we knew that this chest is different.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, the hoar frost tries to crawl up to the chest and stops short of it. As it crawls up, the guardian's legs enveloping its ankles. On the other side, in death, Udo awakes, looking at himself in the eyes, the Therestrike pecking on the mask, the bone mask. Everything is quiet, and everything is underwater, as the only thing sticking up out of the water is Udo, the Therestrike, on Udo's mask. Udo sits upright. Udo sits upright, coughing and squawking and... Ah, what is that? You missed your mark. Yeah, you missed your mark. You're supposed to... I don't know what you did. I don't know what you did either.
Your cawing was off, okay?
No, your cawing was off. I was playing. You were cawing. Okay. All right.
Off in the distance, you just hear almost an identical song to what you played. But where the Therestrike was cawing, there are harsh twangs of the jaw harp that almost mimic like the same tone. This is off in the distance. Coming from the direction, you know that you would be meeting Etienne.
We slosh through the water, grabbing our cloak up and making our way in haste out of the water as quietly and quickly as possible, as not to disrupt any of the possible inhabitants that might be lurking in the depths.
As Udo are walking down the river, dripping as they go, you come to the clearing that you would meet Etienne, and the twanging stops, and you hear, "Hey, Rabba, took you long enough."
Etienne, it has been a long time. It's been a real long time. It is a pleasure seeing you still living, even though we are in death. It's good to see ya.
Mais oui, mon ami. But of course, nothing would keep me from this meeting. It's been too long.
It's been far too long. Far too long. We are traveling for Aratun, and we ran into some hell freaks. Yeah, you saw, well, you know about them.
Oh, yes, I know about them.
So what we're asking is, you got any other info, perchance, on what might be coming up? Yeah, we're flying a little bit blind, running errands.
Wasn't exactly expecting to run across you now. I suppose I should thank you for dealing with my problems.
Wow.
As for information, well, Oratum and I, we don't necessarily see eye to eye anymore. Savvy?
Oh, we get it. Yeah, we get it. Is it personal? Is it personal or is it business?
Well, it's more of a disagreement of sorts. You see, she seems to be hoarding all of the good knowledge. And when I approached her, she made it abundantly clear that I would not be privy to such knowledge. Well, I just happened to discover a little bit here and there about a ritual, contacting ritual. And I may have acquired it from Oratum's personal library. And, I do not believe she has our best interests in her heart. So I struck out on my own. I had no way of contacting you, otherwise I probably would. But I wasn't exactly expecting this outcome myself.
No, I could see why you wouldn't. Yeah, I could see why you could, though, as seeing as you went into the lady's library. Well, I see.
I asked very politely for a little bit of information on the subject, and instead I was met with scorn and fury. So I took it upon myself to just take a peek, and what I found was enlightening, to say the least.
Do you care to share a little bit of what you might have found?
Well, let's just say there's a ritual to contact certain types of individuals that are capable of granting great power, or at least have certain abilities that would make things a lot easier if they were to, say, be persuaded to join me in my...
Interesting. That's a tricky position. Awfully tricky position. Vying for power. Yes, vying for power with powerful individuals.
I don't take it you were part of the group going out to that there, dig site.
Well, some follow orders better than others. Yes, some of us will do what we need to do to get what we want.
Yes, I hear there's an artifact of some importance that, might make this ritual a bit easy. I would be willing to share in my knowledge if you would be so willing to assist me in acquiring these maybe artifact tools.
Wow, that is a loyalty. Yes, loyalty and duty. Duty are a hard thing to break at times.
Yes, well, I wonder who owns your loyalty now. And who will own it in the future? All I can say is the offer stands. Your friends aren't welcome, though. They just aren't cut for it. So I can only spread my trust so far. And I know you. I do not know them. Although your crystal folk friend, if there were to be more of his kind found, might also be able to assist us in this ritual.
Interesting.
Yes.
Are you saying that the stone folk have an ability or a way of channeling into death?
Stone folk themselves aren't necessarily involved. It's just a certain property of the crystal stone folk in particular.
Oh, I see. He is a material component that we can use to help channel for the ritual.
Essentially, so to speak. But it would likely require more than one. But we could probably, at least one would at least assist, especially if we were to have another artifact. A hand, if you will. You wouldn't happen to have seen anything like this in your travels to the north. Perhaps a hand holding a candle?
No, we haven't seen anything. That's unfortunate. Well, a hand holding a candle.
Well, if you're interested, I'll meet you in Eridu. Seems to be likely where you're headed. I suppose you're probably looking for that Corvion. Well, good luck. I'll be waiting to hear from you. I'll return here in 3 nights' time if I don't meet you in Eridu. And as he's saying this, he's walking out of some shadows, and it is definitely the Grinker that you know. Mm-hmm. Upon its back is a large sword that should be far too heavy for this Grinker to carry. And as he finishes those words, he nods and puts his jaw harp to his mouth and twangs and is out of death.
Well now, isn't that interesting? Yes, it's quite interesting. Division amongst the necromancer ranks. Yep, you knew that was coming. Well, of course it is. It's what happens with power. But a hand with holding a candle. A hand holding a candle. All right, let's get out of here before we attract any... Udu looks around both ways. Any other unwanted companions.
As you see something washing its hands furiously down by the river about a quarter mile upstream.
Just go down the river. It'll be easy. It'll be easy. We will play ourselves out.
All right, so before Udu come out of their trance.
So as the frost is growing out, right, it starts to creep over and up Spinel's heel a little bit because he's crouched next to Udu. Prior to that, I had placed the chest next to you and the campfire, because I'm assuming you're on the other side of the campfire for theater of mind.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'd be sitting like the opposite side with, like, on a makeshift, like, chair with, like, my feet up.
So as you're smoking and just having a good old time and, like, the undead frost is growing ever more, I just kind of look back at the chest and look back at you real quick. I point at the chest, and I just say one word.
Death.
I point at my eyes, I point at the chest, as I'm staring at you, trying to indicate to you to keep an eye on the chest while he's doing this, because I'm watching him. Then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pierre would absolutely just be kind of chilling. Like, his feet, you could almost say, like, he's using the chest as, like, his footrest at this point. He's just, like, I envision him, like reclined, just kind of feet on the chest. Like, that's his way of watching it. He's like, nobody's going to get this if my feet are on it. And he's not concerned beyond that. He found his wine.
The chest may be a little bit warm, but it could just be the wine.
Well, or the campfire.
It's definitely not cold.
Well, yeah, he's close to the fire too, so I don't imagine that he's having much problem with like heat. Like he doesn't notice it like unnaturally warm. It feels like he's sitting by a fire, so he's warm.
All right, Udu, how do you return from death?
Do you want me to roll for it?
We could do like an average, like this, like you're playing yourself back, so yeah. You kind of have to also cast yourself back to yourself.
Yeah. You gotta get back to the entry and go out.
I'm gonna add one setback because of the threat from the last roll.
Cool.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, that's not good. Oh, that's a triumph. Okay, cool.
Two success, an advantage, and a triumph. Yeah. One, you feel like you had a full night's sleep. Maybe it was the splash in the water on your face. Whatever it was, you feel pretty good. You are cognizant of everything that happened.
Nice.
And you are able to recall all of the details of your conversation, your visual cues about ATN and all that stuff. You recall everything. I don't know how you want to spend your triumph, but I'm open to any suggestion you might have. Or you can save it for an upgrade for another Arcana check or something later.
Let's just save it for an upgrade. What do you guys think?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm imagining, like, with that, Odo just snaps too, and, like, all the frost just shatters and, like,
ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
It'll start. Yeah, the Therastrike will start shaking again, and it'll flap its wings, and all the hoar frost will just break and start melting.
Like it was all blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rad.
And it's like you had just sat down. Like you could start conversation just goes. Everyone else is like, "Whoa, you've been unconscious." And you're just like, "All right, so." Jumps yeah. right into being fully cognizant.
I tap Odo Udo on the shoulder as I look at Pierre.
Alive.
Yes, I am alive. Yes, we are fully functional and we feel nice and refreshed.
Every time he taps you, the Therastrike is like bounced, like
dodging.
You get a Zangief thumbs up as I stand up and go back to my.
Thank you for watching over me as I transversed into death. Into death! Yes, I met with an old friend of mine while I was over there. He says that the Hellfreak were mostly just back there, and so our roads should be clear all the way to our next destination. Should be pretty clear. I don't think he liked Dusk very much, though. Let's be wary. After all, and what do we have? Do we have anything to drink? I'm a little bit thirsty.
I point at Pierre silently.
Have some of this wine. It is delicious. It is from my personal stores.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. He pulls out his stoneware.
I'm going to also approach, and I want to pull the chest from underneath Pierre's feet.
Like abruptly just grab it and kind of...
Yeah.
Do you pick it up, or do you just slide it out?
Up.
Hey, Pierre, give me a acrobatics check. Average of the setback.
Acrobatics?
Or...
Coordination?
Whatever. Coordination? We can say coordination. Even...
athletics?
Vigilance. Even a vigilance or athletics would work.
I'll do coordination. That's fine.
Failure and a threat. So, yeah, you definitely topple over backwards, and your wine spills all over you, and it sogs up whatever like biscuit you were eating.
Yeah. What is the meaning of this? You do not spill me wine.
Yes.
I hide the chest back into my shoulder spikes as I go back into the shadows to stand guard.
Pierre. Hey, Pierre.
Yeah.
You didn't happen to know what's in the chest, do you? Yeah, what's in the box?
Pierre would kind of hesitate for a second, and he would go,
"Of course I know what's in the box."
Good. I'm glad one of us does. And should it get out, whatever it is, you do know how to handle it, right?
Of course. Do you not know who I am?
Well, we do. Yeah, we do. We got it.
We can take care of these. This is no problem. We just take the box. It's no problem.
If you say it's no problem, we'll follow you. Yeah, we'll follow you.
Last session, was I trying to open the box? Does that sound familiar?
Yes. You were like flicking at the locks, trying to like get it. You were shaking it. Okay. Yeah. So,
okay.
Do you want to mess with it? You still have it. No one's taken this from you. They can't. I don't think they could if they wanted to.
No, I can't remember who told me to stop, but somebody told me to stop, so I'm...
They didn't actually tell you to stop. They just said it probably wouldn't be good if you smashed it open, which you were not smashing it open. You were, but your giant hands were just, Nobody actually told you to stop messing with it. They were just like... I'm pretty sure Udu Udu was just like, that could be dangerous. Be careful how you handle it, kind of thing. I don't think Udu Udu would care if that box got opened.
Okay. As Udu Udu and Pierre are talking about this.
Maybe. I don't know.
Can I crush or like, can I break open the lock?
Yeah, remember, there are three locks. There's two padlocks on the side and one like built-in lock in the center. So you'll have to crush three of them and then try to get that center one open without... crushing the box. for you, this is just going to be an average check, but I am going to use my story point to upgrade it. When you get to the center one, I'll do the first one. We'll do the first one.
Can I roll skullduggery for this?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Finally, a good use for the skullduggery skill.
Whoa.
What?
How two is your skullduggery? Success, two threat.
Dun, dun, yeah, dun.
You manage to... You pinch the lock, and as you pinch the lock, it snaps, but you successfully opened it. I wanted to say that you pinched it shut, but that doesn't...
The lock is broken, but the hasp is still kind of, like, there. He's a little more prying.
Yeah, so, like, you broke the lock off, but the way in which you pinched it, it is holding the hasp in place. So you're going to have to get... You're going to have to attempt to remove this a smaller piece, which would be a hard check. And you have the other two locks to deal with still.
Okay, so I'm going to pinch that first lock as they're talking about this. And then I'm going to show them the chest. I'm going to palm it and show them the chest. And like...
I don't know what happened.
I give the nod and like... as I'm like pantomiming, like opening it. So I would say like effectively one of the locks is mostly disabled, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, so I just grunt towards the party. As I'm pantomiming.
They would probably have an easier time removing that hasp, the chunk in the hasp with a tool, than you would with your... hands. I would probably just make it an easy check or average check for one of them to remove it.
Sure.
If they had a tool, then I'd probably give them a boost. So,
Udu, each look at one head turns to Pierre, the other one looks to Spinel, and both to the box, and then they switch and go to Pierre and look at the Spinel, and then back to the box, and they look to each other and. I don't think it's wise. I don't think it's wise to be opening that right now.
I take the box in hand and I pivot towards Pierre, still pantomiming.
How close did you have that to Udu when you were pantomiming it? Like, were you shoving it in his face?
Not in his face, but like presenting to him so like, uh-huh. He could see me, like that I have it. I busted open the first one mostly.
Well, I think she got two threat. I think what I'm gonna make Udu do an average discipline check.
Okay.
Real quick.
Oh, average discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use my upgrade on this then?
Yeah, I will upgrade it for you right there, and yes, okay. You may. Oh, what a success! He holds it in front of you. Nothing happens. It's just you witness that this box is open. You didn't really get any advantage, but something tickled across your mind uh-huh. as he went to present it to you and then moved it to Pierre. You felt like a tingle in like your spidey sense uh-huh. went off.
What was I fighting against? Was I fighting against my urge to open the box and be part of what is in it? Like
it was more like you were. It was whether or not. You would have been hit with temptation to get what's in the box. Mm. All right, Pierre, Spinel is now presenting you with this box and giving you the, hey, I want this open gesture.
Why did you not ask? I would have opened this for you. You do not need to break.
The whole time, I was like, yeah, totally.
So as I had the chest palmed, I bring it back and just kind of shrug my shoulders.
Okay, are you going to try and open it? There.
Is he handing it to me?
Yeah, it's still in front of me. Outreach in my hand.
Pierre would reach out to grab this and go, here, let me get this for you. And he'll reach out and take it out of your hand.
It is far lighter than you thought it was going to be.
Ah, yes, of course it is light. As this I knew. Go, sit, rest, this will take a bit. Let me work on this.
And I'd like to roll deception. To try to trick him into thinking that I'm actually going to be opening this.
Oh, okay.
I kind of like the story point that, like, I just believe you. Like, I believe you that you're going to try to air quotes.
Does Udu, are you guys interested in seeing whether or not he opens?
Oh, he absolutely is interested. There's okay. No, it's like, yes, I want to know what's in the box.
What is your deception versus what? Discipline, I believe, right? Or perception?
It is.
You can probably do either one, whichever one is you want to use to see through his cunning
deception
ruse.
Is perception?
Yeah, perception or discipline.
I think I'll go with discipline since I kind of like that.
All right, what is your stat for that? I'll make it his.
It is yellow green.
All right, and now Pierre, roll your deception. Two success. Ooh. Two
nice
advantage. Wow, your deception is way higher than I thought it was.
You do not know who I am.
So Udu Udu, if Pierre says he's going to open the chest, whether it's now or later, tomorrow, maybe when you get to Eridu somewhere that you are indoors, he will open this chest. You believe he will open this chest for you. It may not be as fast as you want, but you believe
it. That is why Pierre is in charge. It's because he knows what is best.
Yeah, he knows what's best.
Yeah, nerdily, I have no reason to distrust Pierre, so I just hand it over. I just believe him.
Thank you for listening to Tales from the Grey Library. Thanks to Pi and Moose from Tales of the Outer Rim, and AJ from The Other Place for playing on these episodes. And thank you to Zach from Tales of the Outer Rim for GMing. If you're liking Tales from the Grey Library, be sure to listen to The Other Place and the Fenrain Files. The Other Place follows a new group of adventurers each season, as they try to save the world from an apocalypse of the dead. And in the Fenrain Files, we explore the world even further from an outside perspective, looking down at its history, people, and places. Tales from the Grey Library is produced by Nightcast Creative. For more about us and the other things that we make, visit nightcastcreative.com.